Jesus' name.
You may be seated. Holiness is not something that a human being can attain unto by carnal initiatives and efforts. It's an impartation of the nature of God that makes him exclusive, makes him in his own class, makes him incomparable to anything else, makes him different. In striving towards holiness, the responsibility of the believer is to come into covenant and into league with the Holy Spirit, surrendering himself as an instrument of righteousness. Now, the scripture where we read in the book of Romans chapter 6, because we made a mystery out of holiness. It's the lifestyle of heaven. Whereas righteousness is our nature, as imparted into us by the Holy Spirit that has taken up residence in us. Holiness is the lifestyle of that nature. Now, there is a contrast and a comparison that is done in the book of Romans. Hallelujah. And I need you to understand critically, as we touch on doctrinal issues, it is needful for us to understand at what point is the description of our current code of holiness, at what point was it an idea of the doctrines of men? We need to find out. Okay? Are you with me? Now let us see the scripture. This is the introduction to holiness. The advanced dimensions of holiness is in the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But the introduction to holiness is Romans chapter 6. And we are trying to get the basics so that we will understand what exactly our walk with God is all about. First of all, it begins in verse 12. Showing us the nature of sin. Sin is a tyrant. It's a domineering entity. It's the nature of Satan in manifestation. It has capacity to dominate. It has capacity to reign. It has capacity to deceive and to beguile. You notice that the shape that Satan took in the Garden of Eden when he came to deceive Adam and Eve was the shape of a serpent. Are you with me? It's the nature of that serpent that is what we call sin. The venom that the serpent conducted into man constituted an aberration, a nature that is reflective of the life form and the shape of darkness. Now, this sin or this nature, this power called sin, has the capacity to reign, to gain dominion. So as long as you tarry in it, you become a slave to it, and then you are exposed to higher degrees of it. It is spiritual. So when it begins to reign in your mortal body, what it does is that it opens greater doors of indulgences and corrupts your nature, corrupts you, corrupts the program of God concerning your life. It renders you diminished, and it subjects you to a sequence of decay. Are you with me? And so, in order for God to bring us deliverance, what he did was that he gave us salvation. In salvation, what happened is we are interfacing by the Holy Spirit into another nature. And the nature that we have from God, as opposed to the nature of sin, is what we call righteousness. Righteousness is not an action. Fundamentally, righteousness is a nature. Are you still with me? I know you know all this. I'm just trying to recap. Even though the Bible reveals that there are works of righteousness, there are some works that manifest on the account of that nature. But fundamentally, righteousness is a nature, just like sin is a nature. Sin is not fundamentally an action. Sin is a nature. But sins are actions that are offshoot of sin. Do you get that now? Fundamentally, we need to get it right so that we can understand how to really walk with God. Now, do you realize that the dog has a nature? He barks by nature. Is that true? You can learn how to bark, but you are not barking because you have a nature that promotes barking. So any kind of barking that you do is not locked to your nature. So it is counterfeit barking. You know where I'm going? That nature of God, as we saw yesterday, produces fruits. And the only way that that nature can produce fruits is that we get locked onto the Spirit of God as the personality that will find expression through us. There is a covenant that you must come into with the Spirit of God. That is what we call consecration. You come to that point where you realize that you are altogether God's property. And then by an act of being reasonable, you decide that you offer your potentials to serve the will of God. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. It is not as if even the best of us cannot decide to serve the devil. We have a choice. Are you with me? We have what? Now, if we go deeper into kingdom teaching, you'll come to realize that the difference between operating the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is choice. Our entrance into the kingdom of God is through regeneration. Right? Then we are born into the plane and the sphere of the divine life. That was what Jesus spoke about in the book of John, chapter 3. Our entrance into the kingdom of heaven, however, because the kingdom of heaven talks about the rule of God that proceeds from the throne of God in the third heavens. If you are part of that rule, are you with me? If that throne in the third heavens is affecting your navigation and your operation upon the face of the earth, if it will affect, because you can be born again and you are born into the sphere of life. Jesus' proof that you have been born into the sphere of life is that your spiritual senses become activated and functional. So Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. See perception. His spiritual senses become functional. So he becomes aware of a realm that operates beyond his natural sight, beyond his natural senses. His spiritual senses are activated to be able to interact with that realm. Are you with me? Now that you have begun to interact with that realm, there is a burden that is upon you. Because a time will come when God will make the perspective of that realm plain to you. And then you are now faced with a choice. Will I choose what that realm is recommending? Or will I choose what I want? So you are born again, your spiritual senses become activated. But that is not a proof that you are operating from the kingdom of heaven. Operating from the kingdom of heaven is that now that your senses are activated, you begin to perceive the will of God you now make a choice that that is what I want to do. That's a different sphere of operation. Are you with me? Now, there's a difference between an ordinary sinner and a forgiving sinner. Is that true? Hey, are you here? A man that is sinning on the street, there's a difference between that man and one that was sinning on the street and then he gave his life to Christ. There's a difference. There is also a difference between an ordinary Christian and a consecrated Christian. Because that ordinary Christian is operating from the kingdom of God, but the consecrated Christian has decided to submit his authority over his life to God so that he will serve the will of God as it is perceived from the throne of God in the third heavens. That's another layer of existence entirely. Have you not seen many Christians that don't want to serve the will of God? They are born again, but they are not operating from the government of the throne of God in the third heavens. That is a miniature form of existence that is not the purpose of God for the believer. 80% of believers in our time operate that way. They are born again, but they are the ones that control their show. They are not operating from the third heaven. So they don't seek the will of God. They don't feel that the will of God is important for them to submit to. Your journey on the path of holiness begins when you have come to that point where you acknowledge that rulership over your life must be submitted to the Spirit of God. It is consecration that makes the Holy Spirit strong and powerful in your life. If not, the Holy Ghost will never, ever be powerful. As long as your will contradicts him, he has this nature to shrink back and to allow you to have your way. It's a curse for the Lord God of heaven to allow you to have your way. It's a dilemma for the Lord God of heaven to allow you to have your way. Are you still with me? Because we were not designed with the capacity and the function of directing our paths. That function is locked in a wisdom that is higher than human wisdom. So you can never fulfill and identify your destiny as it is captured in God, except you come to that point where you sell out to him. At that point, you see, your salvation is definite. You know, you came to Jesus definitely. You counted the cost. You know, you knew the things that you had to leave behind in order for you to be connected with the Lord. All right? In consecration also is as definite as your salvation. That day comes in your life when you decide that, okay, now this person can live like this, this person can do like this, but what I decide is that I'm going to live to serve the will of God. That is a proof that you have grown to a point where you have become a reasonable Christian. And your walk of holiness begins from that point. It means now that you have decided that since prior to this time I was in charge of my affairs, now I want God to be in charge of my affairs. I'm going to seek his will for every detail of my life so that my life will be an expression of his intention. See, your life has passed from your hands and is now a tool in his hands. That is how you become an instrument of the righteous nature. Become what? An instrument of what? The righteous nature. The righteous nature is looking for a puppet to manifest his powers, his dynamics. The righteous nature is seeking an opportunity for expression. And as long as your will stands in the way of the will of God, the righteous nature cannot manifest its strength through your own specimen. It's a radical thing to do to come to that point where you say, okay, Lord, I'm just yours. I'm weak, don't know how to pray. I'm just yours. I just want to be yours. Very radical to get to that point. Because everything is going to contend with that position that you have taken. And you need to be saying it every day and handing over your life to him every day as Lord over your life till the rest of your life. Situations and circumstances will forge themselves and present themselves with you, to you, offering you an option to operate otherwise. And it will look more profitable, it will look more rewarding, it will look more fashionable, it will look more smart. But you see, God seeks men of covenant. And that's where your walk of holiness begins from. There are two things in the ladder of holiness. First of all, you must discern that you are God's property. And legally, he owns you. When your eyes open to that by revelation, then you now decide to become reasonable by acting upon that insight and presenting yourself to God. That's the fourth point on the path of spiritual progress. Any believer that has not come to the point of presenting himself to God, presenting herself to God, is not a reasonable believer. And because you are not reasonable, you know, the Bible says, come, let us reason together. I want to make you reasonable. You have not reasoned rightly, so you are not reasonable. Now, a believer that is not reasonable, he suffers 8 different woes. Yes. Now, you see, most people, most believers of our present time are actually suffering the ailments that accrue to lack of consecration to serve the will of God. There are demons, there are issues, there are patterns in our lives that will remain. Some demonic influences that will remain until we decide to come to the point of consecration. When you have decided that I'm no longer my property, I'm God's property, then it becomes God's responsibility to fight, to protect, and to preserve you. But as long as you are still keeping the rights of ownership, he will allow you to manage your business. And I tell you, that business is not so profitable if God's hand is not upon it. You know, I know you people so much. I don't want to use an example of somebody that is here. The person will now catch me at the end of the lecture and say, oh, Pastor, of all the people that were in the congregation, it was me you isolated. Well, I think in order to push my point home, I need to do that. I need to yield to that. She's laughing because she knows she's the one I'm coming to. Now, she will feel offended. All right, let's leave. Now, it's very easy for you to decide that you just do your own will. Now, when we talk about a man being alive in himself, it's a man that still has a will that is unwilling to surrender. So when my brother was teaching yesterday and he spoke about the need for dead men to come upon the scene, he's talking about men whose will do not conflict with God. Because the proof of human life is a will that has an opinion. What did I say? The proof of what? Of human life. It's a will that still sustains an opinion that is contrary to God. He's still alive. He's alive in his will. He's alive in his position. He's alive in his stand, contrary to the stand of God. It is that stand that he has sustained that is contrary to God that is going to be the greatest opposition that God will have in seeking to express his mastery through that life as a specimen. So the journey into holiness is a journey that is established upon 2 spiritual steps: a discernment of the fact that we are altogether God's property, and then also yielding to the reasonable outcome of such a discernment, which is will lead us to what? Consecrating ourselves to serve the will of God. Now, listen to me. You need to give me time to work this thing out, because a lot of religion has been made out of the doctrine of holiness. But there's nothing you can do that will make you holy. Nothing. I assure you. You can remove your earrings, bind your hair with a head tie, and cover your ears. Then go to the village, get some very old rags, and you are wearing. Say you are not of this world. That in itself is another religion that you are doing. It's another religion. But obviously, it's not Christianity. Now, as Christians in this age and in this time, we need to know exactly the position of scriptures. Now, a lot of people have come up with things that are contrary to scriptures in trying to clone a generation. The failures of the body of Christ that we see today in our nation is as a result of the fact that we have cloned people. Guys do not know God, they are not in league with God, but they are being cloned to function in a certain way. That's the product of the doctrine of man. And so we must understand biblical holiness. Hallelujah. There are four things I need to tell you about the dealings of God with his people. It will shock you. First thing about the dealings of God with his people is that God does not deal with them the same way. There's diversity in the dealings of God. Hallelujah. Now let's take inventory. How many of you are here and God said, you heard it from the Lord, directly from him, don't wear jeans trousers? Anybody here like that? Okay, you. Okay, since when? Now, this was a dealing from the Lord. For me, I have no such dealing. Now, he will be committing a blunder, maybe seeing me on my jeans trousers now, that I'm not sanctified. But you see, they don't wear trousers in heaven. So you are actually operating under a veil. So there are many veils in the body of Christ, and we need to remove it. That is the assignment of the apostolic ministry, to present the way of the Lord the way it is, without adding human religion to it. Are you with me? And so, first thing I said is, in the dealings of God, there is what? Diversity. It is in keeping with this diversity that the Holy Spirit has invested himself in all of us, because there's going to be a unique, intrinsic, personal dealing that will come to you that is unique to you and unique to your destiny. So we should not expect that at the end of the day we should be the same. No, that's not God's will. And that's why Jesus, in releasing dimensions of himself to the body of Christ, he says some will be known as apostles, some will be known as what? Prophets. Some will be known as what? All of those things are dimensions of Christ. But you see, they are distributed to the body of Christ as God wills, because God is a God of diversity. The earlier you understand that, the better. And most of us, I believe that mostly the gospel in Nigeria has suffered because of lack of exposure. People need to travel. Just move to Ghana. Don't go far. When you come back, you discover that you majored on the minors, and that's why you don't know God. We carry out a very false religion. Those dreams those people said they had from hell, let them go and sell those books in the US. Because this church in the United States has about 200 years of experience. You can't bring that cheap propaganda. You'll be arrested. Are you still with me? Secondly, God's word What is general about his dealing with us is the Logos, that which is written in the Word of God. And I need to tell you something about that which is written before we proceed in this journey. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Oh. I need to tell you a little about that which is written. According to the scriptures, no particular verse or chapter of the Bible is capable of private interpretation, because the entire compendium of the scripture is actually prophecy. It's actually God inspired. It's not a function of the figment of human imagination. Just in case you see in scripture, maybe somebody said, and I said, that person, for that word to qualify to enter into this scripture, that word satisfied the present revelation position of the Spirit. That was why it's qualified to be documented. Are you with me? And there is something about prophecy. Prophecy sustains a nature. Prophecy can actually be judged. And in the judgment of prophecy, you need more than one umpire. And so, any scripture that doesn't pass the test of testimony from two or more witnesses, it is not actually, our interpretation of it is not in line with the spirit of prophecy. Because if the scripture doesn't have any private interpretation, it should also be confirmed from other scriptures. It's only the thought of man that has a private interpretation. Have you ever seen husband and wife quarrel before? It's because of private interpretation. The woman did something like this and felt it should be like this. The man came and said, he had a private interpretation about that matter. And by the time he finished interpreting it, the woman, it was as if she committed murder. Because she did not see all those dimensions that the man brought. As long as there is no reference to a matter, it is what? Given to private interpretation. It cannot be the basis upon which people's eternal fate can be anchored upon. Are you with me? It's not the way you think it is that it is. It's the way the scriptures can witness that it is through the mouth of two or what? Three witnesses. Are you with me? So when you think that scripture said that women must tie her tie to pray, go and look for two scriptures or three scriptures or four scriptures that say that. If you cannot find that in the Bible, that is not the perspective of God concerning that scripture that you have erroneously interpreted. A religion comes out of that, and whether you are right or wrong depends on whether you have a headgear. Meanwhile, it has nothing to do with the teachings of the Bible. Because one of the people in those dreams from hell or the underworld said that the church has to go back to holy dressing. Now, mind you, there's nothing like holy dressing in the Bible. Now, the challenge of the apostolic is to bring the truth of God and present it what? The way it is. You cannot formulate a dress code through the Bible. Wear trouser, don't wear trouser. Not with scripture. The reason why we feel the responsibility to clone is because we do not have confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of men. And we have not exposed the people to the work of the Holy Spirit that is intended by God to bear fruits unto holiness. Have you seen that? Find two scriptures that says that women should not wear trousers. The thing is not about putting a code. The thing is about making the people know the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible can take care of those issues. Not everything is covered by doctrine. I need you to understand that. And the reason why it is like that is because the Holy Spirit has a definite, intrinsic, tender work that he does in the heart of every believer, different from another. So the call to consecration is a call to league with the Holy Spirit. A call to fraternity with the Holy Spirit. A call to covenant with the Holy Spirit. It's not an attempt, an initial attempt to stop something wrong you are doing. Because most of you believe that if you can work on the anger, I'm okay. You are working in bits and pieces. Submit the whole life to him. It's not just if I can wash my leg, I'm okay. That's not the idea. The idea of holiness and consecration is what? I'm altogether his. As long as there is a problem with that, your committer, your life will be wrong according to the Bible. We can use scriptures, look at your life critically and find scriptures that reveal your error. Are you with me? Oh my, you're not with me. Jesus. His problem, her problem, is his committer to the Holy Ghost. If there's still anger manifesting, there's still fornication manifesting, this one is not yet committed. This one has not yet given. Because by the time you hand over all to him, there is a definite thing that happens. You become an instrument of righteousness. I hope you know that an implement, a farm implement, does not just take itself to the farm and begin to work. Somebody will use it. It is when you have now decided to commit yourself to serve the will of God. Given that you have realized that you are his property, and it is being reasonable with God demands that you give him his property. When you do that, your shape changes. You become an implement, a tool that can be used to advertise righteousness as a theater. Are you still with me? Now, so I can come to the church and say, from now henceforth, the Holy Ghost spoke yesterday night. Every sister, come here with your head tied, with headgear. And then you know, in such cases, the people that say those things, they don't laugh. So don't make it funny. Come with headgear. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. You know, the people can actually obey my law, but they have not yet committed themselves to God. What their lives will produce is an aberration that is under that garment. Wickedness in manifestation. Bitterness at work. A judgmental spirit that is hot, far away from God. All kinds of things hide under human religion and manifest freely, unchecked. That's not Christianity. Now, you see, I cannot teach what I'm teaching if I don't have the experience of what I'm talking about. Because I will not be accurate. The only way to be accurate in the things of Bible study and teaching is that you yourself must have an experience of what you are talking about. I know what it means to walk in holiness. If I see otherwise, I'm lying. A man doesn't have the authority in the church to say, I know what faith means, if he has not walked in faith for more than 10 years. I've walked in holiness for more than 10 years. A man doesn't have the authority to call for an offering if he has not been consistent with to giving to God for more than 10 years. He doesn't have the legal standing. Such a man can call the offering. The people will not be motivated to give because that thing he's recommending is not part of his life. Because I've seen places where the teaching is given. That's the teaching. But there's poverty. A church of 200, the offering was less than 4,000. Meanwhile, the message is given. It's not the preaching that is the problem. The man calling for the offering, we have to probe. The Lord will help us. These issues are critical issues. If you are still with me, say amen. Are you here? Now we need to call a spade a spade. Somebody said he died and went to hell, and the message that came out is Women must go back to ancient dressing. I know the spirit that spoke to me. That has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. There are no clothes in heaven. This kind of your fabric that they made from cotton. The garment you'll be wearing in heaven is a garment that is actually an array of that righteous nature. It will be white in its blend because that nature carries that coloration. I don't want to go into some other things that are beyond ground level. Let's stay on ground. Are you still with me? Now, so this is what we do. You cannot say, because you can mimic barking, that you are a dog. The dog barks by nature. You are barking by what? By copying. That's what happens when we want to copy holiness. You are not doing it by nature. You are doing it by copy. And that is fake. It is filthy. Like filthy rags before God. Get lost in the Holy Ghost. Something, righteousness will begin to bear fruits unto holiness. That's what the Bible says. As you get lost into God, the first thing that God touched in my own life was my quotient of financial expenditure. That was the first thing he touched. I don't know what he touched in your own, but my own was my quotient of what? Of financial expenditure. The shape of my financial expenditure did not look like a man that was sold out to God. And God's ministration began from there. You know the reason why I will not overly compel you to give if you have not touched God? We have to be encouraging you. It's obvious that the kingdom work requires a lot of investment coming from his people so that the kingdom of God can advance. So that the kingdom of God will not suffer loss in our time. That is obvious. But the point is this. A man cannot give to God if he has not yet given himself to God. Now the Bible speaking, Paul was talking about some of the churches. A particular church. Is it the Corinthian church or what church was that? What? That the reason why it was easy for them to give was because they themselves are giving themselves unto God. Because God first will accept you before he accepts your offering. The first thing God dealt with in my own life when I came to that point of absolute committal to him was my expenditure quotient. The template was such that it reflected a worldly man much more than a godly man. Who will ever think that that is where God will go first? That is where he went first for me. Because the shape of my expenditure was a revelation of my constituent. And that constituent, as mirrored by my expenditure, was not in keeping with the pattern in the heavens. So he had to begin to judge and probe that side. That is the working of life. That is the working of the power of the life called Zoe. It probes every inclination in your universe that is not consistent with the template of heaven. Because holiness is actually a fruit. You know, our text has not changed. It's Romans chapter 6 that we are still. You know, I crammed those scriptures. That's why I'm touching. Sometimes I touch verse 12, verse 14. I had to cram it. So I don't need to be coming back. But everything I'm saying, if you want to probe it, let's go back. Romans 6 verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now be made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Now that we are partakers of the nature of God called righteousness. All right? The fruit that that nature will bear if it begins to express itself through your life as a specimen is a culture, a conduct of holiness. That is actually a manifestation of the nature of God that makes him different. It makes him distinct. It makes him separated from all others. Are you with me? It makes him such that you cannot put him within the context of any other progression. You can't say Shongo and then Madioha, Jehovah. No, he doesn't enter the sequence. You know why? Because he is holy. It's that nature that makes him altogether different. And when that nature begins to work itself inside of you, it will make you what? You are not with me now. To make you what? You will no longer be uncommon. It will make you uncommon. You will no longer be common like the people of this world. These are the things they do. You will just be different. The workings of that nature will make you different. Distinct. You are not in the common band. There is something that works in your life that is beyond your upbringing. This is a nature at work. It will result in making you different. Are you with me? Now, those days, all right, when we say a vessel, a cup is holy. You know what it means? Traditionally and originally and customarily. What it means is that that vessel has been removed from every other mundane use, every other carnal use, and it has been relegated to the temple. It is only in the temple that such a vessel will be used. Are you with me? It is still a vessel like its counterparts in the market, but it is different from those ones that they made together because it has only one use, and that is what temple use. In fact, one of the kings in scripture tried to bring the vessels that were dedicated only to temple use. His loss came to a level that he recommended that those vessels in the temple should be brought out and be used carnally again. The God that they were dedicated to came with a hand and wrote on the wall that night. Now, so if you have been working with the Lord and that nature has made you different, and you decide to apply yourself to a mundane adventure. Have you ever heard that somebody took a goat to a shrine and then later, after 3 days, he went back to take it back? Is it the same goat that you are taking back? It might look like the same goat naturally, but the owner is different now. So what you have committed is theft. That the owner of that goat will look for you. Some of you have encountered trouble because you went far with God and then you now applied some of your vessels to common use. That was a breach of contract. And the one that you offered the vessel to now had to shake in your universe shook. Can you see the powers of which we deal with when we come to the corridor of consecration? That is what makes the Holy Ghost powerful. You will never know the power of the Holy Spirit until you have consecrated to serve Him. And that your powers and potentials will be used for one reason and one reason only, to manifest His excellence as He deems fit. That nature of God will be unlocked from your spirit man. And it will be manifested in so much that it will make you separate. It will make you different. The more you walk in that nature, you discover that the options for you are always reduced to the barest minimum. It takes you through a path that is narrow. All right? From the broad pathways that other Christians pass. The nature keeps confining you and restricting you to to a path that is narrow, such that the options around you are not many. When you marry, no matter how your wife is, you can't divorce, because the nature has constrained you. If you are still contemplating the fact that you divorce is an option, there is a part of you that has not been given, and it's that part that the demons are hanging on and suggesting from. If you give that part away, that suggestion will no longer become relevant. You see, we know talk, we don't know covenant. That is what is the key to real power. The reason why God even respected hidden kings those days was that when they say this, they will not turn back on it. God likes men like that. Because a man that cannot keep his word is not different from a beast. When you say to God, take all, what did you mean? Is there another interpretation of that? The great one will help us. Are you with me? The great one will what? The third step on the path of holiness. You have seen the two steps. The third step is that you must come under the influence of the revelation of the Lordship of the Holy Ghost. Now, see, the Holy Ghost in you is Lord. Are you with me? He's what? He's Lord. You know, when you go to your village and you're expecting your chief to come and visit you, that you came back from a long journey, you wait for a long time. Chiefs don't go for visitation. The earlier you are acquainted with that, the better for you. The Holy Ghost inside of you is Lord. It's a king spirit. King spirits do not take the first initiative for acquaintance. You can be born again and you are not making any effort to know the Holy Spirit, to connect with him, to fraternize with him. He will be there like Jesus was in the boat sleeping. Meanwhile, the boat was about to capsize. The Holy Ghost becomes powerful when we beckon upon him. We acknowledge his almightiness. If you are not aware of that, it will be difficult for you to have penetration in the spirit realm. Meanwhile, I said that holiness, what is a manifestation of what? Of the nature of God on display through the theater of my life. Don't forget that my example. I say we can bark and mimic the barking of a dog, but a dog barks because his DNA is wired for barking. So no matter how close we go into mimicking it, it is not barking, because our DNA doesn't support that. No matter how many physical things you do, those days we had a style of dressing. Your trousers are suspended like this. And then, hallelujah. And then you reduce your number of laughter. Reduce it so that you are always in gravity, pondering upon the mysteries of the Lord. Mahambalata makaya. Even when you spoke in tongues, you spoke in tongues sparingly, and then you mumbled up the rest in the heart. Because God does not look on the outward. He looks where? A religion was already evolving. Because almost all we did was powered by the power of the flesh. We wanted to be accurate. And the vista that we had to look into what accuracy was the teachings of men that came to us. And the more we yielded, the more enslaved we became. Until a time came when I said, Holy Spirit, if you are there, I want to know you for myself. And I went on an adventure. That adventure took me for 10 years. Then the Holy Spirit had to guide me to read the scriptures again. And I discovered that there are many scriptures. Oh my God, Jesus. So from that time, I made a solemn vow that will fight against anything that is not founded in scriptures. And that will be the story of my life, a fighter for truth and verity. That the civilization of heaven might invade the basest of men again, so that we can tap into our heritage in him. Now, I made many enemies because of that line of ministry. But it's better to make enemies among men than to have God against you. You cannot do any natural thing in the flesh. It will be fake. Holiness is the manifestation of what? Of a nature. It is on the strength of this that when somebody gives his life to Christ, even with his error, come like that. Because we are certain that in the process you will come in contact with God and he will begin to administer the regulator for your own life yourself. It was in Cote d'Ivoire, Rastafari gave his life to Christ. His head was Natty Dre. Do you know? You know the Dre that I'm talking about? Iron Man. He was an Iron Man. Oh, Jesus. He came with steps to the crusade ground. And the word of God pierced his soul. He had some sticks of cigarettes. Somewhere he was an Iron Man. I don't know what brought him there, but he came. And the word of God pierced into him. He wept. And the next day when he came to the crusade ground, he had shaved his natty dread. No Bible study. There was a spirit that was alive, trying to manifest the nature through the theater of his life. It's the insecurity of pastors that, will not have control. That is why the laws of men were legislated. The Holy Spirit is strong enough and capable to colonize his people. So we don't need to make a scripture say what it's not saying when it's not supported from the scripture. Just because we have an idea. That is not Christianity. It might be an old Japanese religion that was important. Because it's among the Japanese monks, the dress code is key. That's cloning, not covering. There's a mighty nature seeking expression, and the power that drives that nature is sufficient in itself to perfect that which God intended. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, there's another ladder we need to climb. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You see, we have received education from the flesh. In order for one of the most difficult things is to unlearn the things you have learned that are wrong. That is where the renewing and the transforming work of the Holy Spirit now comes into view. There is a woman like that I met from the West. She, her body, her flesh is educated. If she wants to insult you without talking, she knows how to do herself. She has educated the flesh. The flesh is so educated. If she wants to, and the insult she will insult you without talking will be more than utterance. Because the flesh has been educated. And when you come into the kingdom of God and embrace the Holy Ghost, he begins to inoculate you with high tension syringes. So that education can wither. And the power that funds that education will dry up. You are not with me. There's a part of this thing. It is because of that God incorporated suffering into the procedure. You see, and Jesus, being a pioneer, a prophet, and an apostle, knew that everything he does will affect every one of us. So he accepted that the path to salvation, he accepted suffering in it. Well, it was you he was looking at when he was going there. He was uttering a path for you. Now there will be a fine blend of suffering that will be part of the process. The reason for that suffering is to weaken the education of the flesh that you have gained over time. And so, you know, you start doing night vigil, getting your family members to pray with you in the night, and then suddenly you just came one day and everybody is against you, and the things they are saying is penetrating your heart. You know, those utterances they are speaking, it's not coming from them. The spirits you are offending are the ones using their vocal cords to speak to you. In that, see, you were actually so close to victory. When that happens to you, you are close to victory. What you need to do is not to be overcome by evil,
but to overcome evil with good. But many of us will now move in the flesh. Then you have failed that class. He will reprogram you for next semester. Because situations pressured you and the option of the flesh was more. You operated with the old anger. You even went into a rage. You remembered how you were a boxer. You took advantage of the old ways. And then the old you that had died, he revived for a time. You say, be not overcome with evil. But overcome evil with what? Everything around you will be programmed to work to revive your old perspective of life. That perspective you were sustained before you came to that realization that made you consecrate. Hallelujah. Can somebody wrong you and you keep quiet for 3 years? And then when you feel hot inside, you go to prayer and say, Lord, peace. You ask for peace until you are inoculated. And the burden, the pressure of hatred and bitterness is neutralized. A man that will live under the government of God must know these secrets. He must know the secret of the fact that you can cast your cares upon God because he cares for you. Because there are times when your heart will be full, triggered from the environment to make you react. You need to know the sole purpose of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. The only thing that Satan wanted to achieve was to get Jesus to act outside of the authority of God. Whenever you leave your government of God, the authority of God, and act in the flesh, what you have done is that you have made the devil superior to you. And if he has been looking for you for a long time, that opportunity you gave him, he will do something to you that will affect your next season. Even though you repent and recover, you will still have a scar to bear. And when you pray to God about it, you say, my grace is sufficient. My grace. My grace. Because it was a choice you made when you came up. And many of us are going repeating classes because along the line we forget that you gave to God. And then you revive your tools and use it for a while because you believe those ones have more vengeance. And so you cannot grow beyond the level. You pray so much, but you are not growing because you don't understand how the divine life gains momentum as it matures within you. How it influences your soul and makes your soul to be subordinate so that your soul becomes reflective of the activities that find expression in your spirit. So that your soul becomes that prism through which God is magnified. Hallelujah. There's another layer to it that I need to bring to our notice. That layer is in 2 Corinthians. Okay. Okay, he's asking a question. Please
frame your question. You see, we are more of a prayer people, you know. And then you said you pray so much, but there's no growth because your soul has not been opened up to the divine life. I'd like to throw more light on that because we are prayer people. You see that people pray so much, but
I found out prayer is very fundamental. It's very important. But you can be praying and not growing. Meanwhile, growth, there's a path to growth. Everything that comes and accompanies the divine life has its own path, its own system, has its own way of growth, has its own way of survival. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let us check some scriptures in attempting to answer your question. Then I will now show us the golden rule of spiritual growth. Then I will move back to my message this morning. I have a message. My message this morning, the title is Facts About Prayer That Are Easily Overlooked. That's my sermon. We are doing... we are doing a recap of the things we began to study yesterday. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Christianity is deep, but it's available to us by the Spirit of God. Alright. Can we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7? I know there are a lot of Bible scholars in the hall. I'm seeing quite some scholars here. And I know that some of the things I've been bringing out are new to their hearing. And the reason why you are here is so that if you find out that a scripture, you know, contradicts the perspective I'm bringing, you are at liberty. It's Bible study to say, can we strike this balance? That's why we're here. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, now, as a Bible teacher, please notice this. Evangelist Philip, you are a pastor. I heard that your church is growing very well. The burden of pastoring is not in the initial stage of doing the evangelical aspect of ministry. The burden of pastoring is being wise in the spirit enough to be able to instruct the people in righteousness. It's in such an environment that people can find their destiny and fulfill it. Now, you are effective in the first phase of ministry, and you have refused to shift into the second phase of ministry to begin to raise people that can do what you do and to begin to teach people and instruct them in righteousness. That is what will qualify you to go beyond that place where you are pastoring to another place. If you move into the second phase of ministry that is calling you now. Now, with what you have, you are strong, I know. With what you have, there are some places you are not relevant. And that's why you must tarry with the word of God and ask God for wisdom. It's not every service that is given to miracles. Jesus did not teach and preach that way. There are sometimes he'll go for 3 days just teaching. What was he telling them for 3 days? For 3 days, that's what he's just doing. Now, most of us, when we see the power of God move in our meetings, we are so excited. And that day will not end until you share it, that power move. I appreciate that. We need that. I'm not trying in any way to downplay the need for those dimensions. But I'm saying we have come to another level. Where you must become a technocrat in the spirit. And you see the people that you are pastoring and you see their limitations. And you are trusting God that they will go to another level in God. And then you receive the tools to bring them into that level. That means you are growing in ministry. Now, come with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. A day will come, maybe when you have an opportunity to minister to the Senate of a country. I don't want to go far. You will find out that you are not prepared for it. Because maybe you have the miracle prayer to give people money. Those ones have money. Maybe you have the miracle one that gives people protection. Those ones have military people surrounding their houses. So that is not their need. What will you minister to them? At what level will you reach them? Meanwhile, they are in desperate need of God, more desperately in need of God than the man that is unprotected on the street. It's time to grow in the ministry. And we must know what it means to grow. Are you with me? Now, anytime we are confused about what it means to grow, you begin to run around in circles. You have tarried around this mountain for too long. That is very easy in our walk with God for you to tarry around the mountain. and not know that you are not moving. There were 42 times that Israel tarried in their journey to the promised land. It shows off 42 points where Christians are likely to tarry in their walk towards perfection. Maybe the day when we, in July, when we do the feast of the word of God, we'll check those 42 points. At what points did they stop? And what is the spiritual significance of those points? It is very likely for the believer to just stop and get pegged. And he doesn't know he's not growing. Meanwhile, the God you are tapping into has no end. But you are now truncated and stagnated. It's because there's an alignment problem. So revivals have come and we lost revivals and still continued our activities in the body of Christ just because we don't know what growth is. The shapes of the offices that we received in the body of Christ, the shape of the office of the evangelist, was intended to evolve. Yes. What you know the office of the evangelist to be and the role of the evangelist, you know it because that's how much of it we have explored. There are dimensions to that office that we have not yet known because the church in the region had not grown to. Now, can you call Benny Hinn an evangelist now? Those were people that took those offices to very dangerous levels. Will you be right to call him an evangelist? Will it be accurate for you to call Bonke an evangelist now? There are shapes. Even the prophetic office has not matured in this country. Because our perspective of the prophetic office is somebody that has the gift of word of knowledge that can call your phone number. You can call people's phone number, and the people lack direction and strategy. They lack the present revelation position of God as to how to advance within the scope of deep crisis in the territory. The ministry of a prophet was identified with their capacity to deliver a nation. He said, by a prophet, the Lord brought what? The children of Israel out of Egypt. He had such capacity. They had no social security system. They had no legal system. They had no military. They had nothing in society. It was that prophet that formulated everything that became the basis of their government as a nation. It was by that prophet that functionaries were isolated to serve in cabinets of leadership. One prophet. There were even songs that were sung nationally in those days that it was a prophet that downloaded. So national songs and national anthems, the prophets gave it. Today, our own prophets only have the power to call people's names and phone numbers. And because we are not growing corporately as a church, the offices have not evolved into higher dimensions and higher manifestations. Growth is a need now. And I have decided that I will not die loaded. I have to die empty. The grave doesn't need what we carry. And so we need to know when we are growing. And how to grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your number is 080. Wow, great prophet has come to town. But the people go back, and the principalities of the territory see hold them bound. When they come, I say, welcome. You went on vacation. Now come. We have increased your burden. Something, a power that doesn't break into the control base of the principalities within the territory. To dissociate the people from cultures that were formulated by mysteries of darkness. And to colonize them and grant them an orientation in keeping with the prophetic purpose of God for their territory and for their tribe. That's the role of the prophet. If we have not yet seen that manifestation, it's because... As a church, we are immature. And that's why we need to do this kind of elementary doctrine. There are things we need to move into. Things that God has already revealed that it is for us. He has revealed it. We can't touch it because there are issues that we need to clean up. Now, look, there's another layer that we need to look into. Maybe it will answer your question. I spoke about the education of the flesh. Because we are so used to operating by the flesh, we now educated it to be able to communicate even without utterance. And God will have to deal with those aspects. And those dealings are only possible when we are yielded to Him to serve His will. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Now, can we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7? We'll begin from verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. I think we need to go back and find out the promises he's talking about. Can you move back to chapter 6? Second Corinthians chapter 6. Let's begin from verse 14. Maybe we'll be able to catch up with the stream. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Look upon me. Look upon me. He called it an unequal yoking. If you go to the Old Testament, you are going to see there are actually suggestions of this particular scripture in types and in shadows in the Old Testament. That it is not proper for you to plow a field with an ox and with ox and bull or something. Ox and donkey. Don't plow with an ox and donkey. That's unequal yoking. Because when you are yoking an animal, they must be of the same strength, probably of the same size, and of the same kind. That is when the multiplier effect of their strength can act effectively on the plow that is behind them. And so if there is any form of unequal yoking, the yoke that they are drawing, that is plowing the land, will not be able to plow because it will be tilted at an angle, and that is not an advantage. To not be able to enter into the earth crust. Now, it means that you cannot partner with an unbeliever and expect anything that is productive, whether in business, counsel. It's not possible. So he said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion had light with darkness, and what accord had Christ with Belial, or what part as a believer with an infidel. Can we check those adjectives used there? What fellowship? Isolate fellowship. What cord? What concord? Isolate it. What communion? Isolate that. What part? Can we start with... Okay, let me give you an assignment. You study those words, okay? Those are English words. So you can use a dictionary to study them. And then you know the meaning. And then try to see how it applies to the scriptures. What's the first one we have? What? Fellowship. What koinonia? From what gradient will you fellowship with the unbeliever? Because when you are fellowshipping, have you heard in your Bible when the Bible says, they that fear the Lord spake one unto another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was opened to them that fear the Lord and thought upon his name? There are dimensions of interfacing with God that you cannot have except you go and meet a brother and you begin to talk about God. Do you do that regularly? You meet a sister and all you discuss is God. So there are dimensions of God that you can unlock just discussing God with a brother. In fact, it is so important that a book of remembrance is opened in heaven to pen down the things that were discussed. And to make it more terrible, God is saying that whenever he's coming to choose his precious people, it's those records that have come out of your fellowship that he's going to go back to in order to choose his precious people for times for strategic times and purposes upon the face of the earth. He said, there shall be mine, said God, in the day that I make them my precious gems. Now, so the Bible is asking us a question. What kind of fellowship, from what gradient will you be fellowshipping with an unbeliever? Because you see, sometimes, for those of you that have come to understand the anointing that you carry, there are some times that you came from home dry, but you just came into the service and you became anointed. It was not because you prayed. It's fellowship. Maybe the guy that was really anointed in the meeting was Tony. And then your spirit plugged with him. It was out of his reserve you were drawing utterance, drawing. That's fellowship. Koinonia is exchange, it's intercourse, it's transport. That's the meaning. A lot happens here that cannot happen in your house. Because many things are gathered here. An exchange takes place. We don't need to go into issues of, you know, I don't know if that pastor is here, one pastor. He came for one of our meetings and then something entered him. He called me from Lagos and said, he has not stopped praying since that day. And it's almost 2 weeks now. He has been in the cave. Because what entered him moved him into the cave. That's what happens when you fellowship. You share, you exchange things. Now, so from what gradient will you be able to conveniently fellowship? What's the next word there? What?
Communion.
What communion has light with darkness? At what level can they find a common ground where light and darkness can partake of sup? What's the next word there? What concord? You know the Bible says in the upper room that they were in one accord. That means it was their corporate energy that drew the Holy Ghost out of heaven. Can you also be in accord or concord? It's not possible. The gradient, there's a gradient issue. What's the last one? What part? What part has what and what? What agreement? Okay, just go and study. Go and study. Let's leave that. So check the words carefully. We have fellowship. We have communion. We have what? Concord. We have what? Part. We have what? Agreement. Now one thing you must understand is that when that life begins to manifest, that nature begins to manifest, it is going to make you separate. Your confidence will change. Your friends will change. So if you are here today and one of your greatest powers is still of darkness, you are fake. Because it's not possible. Your greatest power is in an unbeliever. Say, ah, we went to secondary school together in our lady. He should not be trusted. Hallelujah. Because the truth of the matter is that if you really become born again in these parts and you have not yet been ostracized by your family, you have a, there's something about your family has not yet put you in a category. Then you are not ready for anything. Pastor Victor can understand what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm talking about? Or you want to ask a question? All right. Please give him a microphone. We can, just sit down. Don't worry. Enjoy your seat. Give him a microphone before I proceed. Give him a mic. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
You don't need to stand. Sit down. Just enjoy your seat.
There was a time you were preaching here. You said you had a friend, and that friend is a Muslim. Is it right?
Okay, wait now. Jesus was called a friend of the publicans in a form. But the issue we are talking about here is communion. Fellowship. Agreement. part. That means concord. It's not as if I can't relate with an unbeliever. I have colleagues that are unbelievers, and we interface on the level of colleagues. Are you following that? We go for courses together. They send us on courses. The fact that maybe he's not a Christian won't say make you not to go for the course. We'll go for the course. But even them themselves have acknowledged that this man is different, and they tell me. Now, that's a good round. The other time we went for a course in Calabar, we're still in lectures. So the lecturer delayed. And they were saying, Pastor, we want to hear one of your sermons. So I now took them to YouTube. We now downloaded one sermon there. And one of the guys that was a Muslim now said he had something to tell me. When we got back to Lagos, he now said he is changing to a Christian. Now, if I didn't have a relationship with him on that level, if I discriminated against him on that level, that trust will not exist. Now, what we are talking about is that person is playing a key role in your life. I can relate with them. We need to interface with them to get them out of that kingdom of darkness. But I don't have any deep thing with any unbeliever. Nothing deep. But I have, hey, Pastor. No problem. And I will make them feel uneasy. I'll relate well. Because at the end of the day, some of them, before they married, they came to me to go to the lady to check if he had devils. The lady is a Muslim. He said, check this one. So we can still play those. We can still see interface on that level. Hallelujah. It was when they... Okay. You understand what I'm talking about? There's nothing deep I have with any unbeliever. Anywhere in the world, for that matter. The people in my life are the people you are seeing here. These ones know me more than my biological brethren. Because when a man is born again, he's born into a spiritual family. It's only that family that can understand him. Church is supposed to be family. So people that have an individual spirit are not yet practicing members of church. He comes to church, but he doesn't fuse with the community. He keeps himself. It's just like, you see, there's a difference between a pile of blocks and a wall and a house. It is still those pile of blocks that has made what? The house. But the difference between the house and a pile of blocks is that you can't stay inside a pile of blocks. So as long as we remain individual, nothing is built. But if we are going to build something, there are some blocks that we'll have to cut. Your anger might be an excessive luggage. We'll have to cut it. In order to establish order, there are some things about your own personal life that is bogus that we need to judge. So that we can establish order, a pattern that some people can dwell under. They can come with their troubles and find liberty. Are you still with me? Now, so some people prefer not to be caught. So they want themselves to be individual blocks. So they are not built into something that God is building. Indeed, if you are part of the family, the system will affect your structure. To affect your finances. Because those among us that are stronger financially, obviously, we have the responsibility to help the ones that are not as strong. It will affect you. You will be caught. But when you see people that are part of in body, but they are not fused, it's just isolated, it's just there. That one is not part of the family. That's what church is. I don't want to press deep this morning. But you understand it to that point. Because people prefer to retain their shape and be isolated and having an individual spirit rather than losing their original shape so that we can have a corporate shape. Just like a preacher among us. Because for us to be together like this, you will lose a lot of things. So when you find a preacher among us that doesn't want to lose those things to fuse into the colony of the presbytery, you isolate that one. It's not family. When the devil wants to attack us, it's through that kind of life the devil will use. Do you understand that? Because the idea is what? Family. The Lord give you understanding. I don't want to press deeper. There are five things that the church is, and one of them is family. And that is why we call God Father. Is it not in the family that we have Father? Our what? Father. That means there's a family. The Lord give you understanding. Now, for instance, Pastor Victor now was being trained to become an Oya. And he was being taken through the process to become, to hold the scepter and to wield the powers of witchcraft that are associated with being an Oya. And then suddenly he gives his life to Christ. He no longer has an accord. He no longer has what? A stake. He no longer has what? A part. He's no longer part of the communion. He doesn't have an inheritance there. So he needs to find his own people. You know, physically, he still bears the name and he knows the compound. But he cannot partake of what is going on there. And just in case he's partaking, he should not be trusted. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is how it is. That is it. Because in keeping with this consecration, where we release ourselves to be projected and to become a theater through which the Holy Ghost manifests fruits of holiness, in this our calling on this ground, there is a demand that you dissociate from every other spirit that wants to use you as his theater. So on the strength of this, you cannot have fellowship between Baal and what? And Christ. You cannot have what? Communion between what? Light and darkness. You cannot have any agreement between what? Believer and what? You cannot have any pact between what? The Lord give you understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. So they had to leave every form of communion that existed before to find their own clan. Communion is a deep thing. When we share together, it's a deep thing. It's actually a proof that we are part of a covenant. Covenants are not enacted in those days until there's eating. And when Jesus Christ called his disciples for communion, it was a deep thing that was happening. A new platform is forged. It's on the strength of this platform that communion will be defined from hence. And that's why in the book of John, John had to say, that which we have seen from the beginning, we have heard about it with our ears, we have looked upon it, we have handled it, even of the word of life, that the eternal life that dwelt with the Father in the beginning was manifest to us. It's because of this that we have encountered, that we call you to fellowship. All them that have encountered the Father through his Son are now hereby summoned to come for fellowship. We have something in common that has bound our destinies together. Come! It was on the strength of that that John was calling people for what? For fellowship. Then he said that our fellowship is with the Father and what? And with his Son, Jesus Christ. I don't want to explain that. It's very deep. Can you see it? All right. Where are we? Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate. This is the call. Say the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, say the Almighty. This is the promise he's talking about. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. This is the heavy promise that he gave us. Now, meanwhile, before this promise, there's a requirement. This is a conditional promise. He said, wherefore, because of this promise, come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not what? Now, the please let us read together. He said, therefore, come out from among them and be ye. Now, that separation is not segregation. Because holiness is separation. As the nature of God called holiness begins to manifest in your life, it will separate you from common things, from ordinary things, from worldly things, and then put you in your own category and in your own class. Just in case you are involved in a common thing, Paul is calling you now, come out. Maybe you have not ordered your steps very well, and there's deep communion between you and an unbeliever. Now, if you are in communion with an unbeliever, you are going to be colonized by the unbeliever. That's not how the power of light is amassed. The power of light is amassed when it is shining from an isolated source, a different source from darkness. And it beeps into darkness. It displaces it. But by the time you take darkness and light and put and marry them together by force, it will lose its brilliance. Light will lose its brilliance. So there's a call to separation. There's a call not to touch the unclean thing. Is that all? What's the third one? No. Come out from among them. That's number one. Be separate. That's number two. And touch not the unclean thing. Now, we are Bible scholars. Who can help us? Who can tell us what the unclean thing is? The unclean thing. If you have an ancient Bible, unclean is in italics. Huh? Who can help us now? Touch not the unclean thing. This is the reason why a prayer man will not grow. He is touching the unclean thing. That's why he will not grow. Are you with me? Just in case you don't know, it is that unclean thing that chapter 7 starts with. There are two dimensions of the unclean thing. Having therefore these promises, my dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of what? The flesh and the spirit. It means there are two types of filthiness. My concern, I know you know the filthiness of the flesh. I know you know that one. Or do we need to still look upon the filthiness of the flesh? My concern this morning is actually the filthiness of the spirit. What are the things that contaminate your spirit? So a prayer man can be praying for 100 days night vigil, but he's still making contact with that which contaminates his spirit. But he doesn't know. He's still violating spiritual laws. Have you ever read in your Bible, quench not the spirit? How do you quench the spirit? Huh? How? It's by anger. Nothing quench. You go and pray for 30 days on the mountain when you come back glowing with the flame of God. And then you see someone and say, oh! When you say that, the measure of God you came down with has depleted on a very serious note. Well, let me chip in something quickly. A man that still has anger in his bosom doesn't have a plan to go far with God. Let me just... If you are still pampering anger and you have not gone to deal with anger, you don't have a plan to go far. Let me just leave that one. I will not explain. Leave it. Hallelujah. Now, can we walk this thing quickly so that I can move into prayer? Who will help us? What can we now give them the mic? Please, at scholars. When you finish with them, give Ima, Ima the mic. What? No, Bem, not that Bem. The Bem at the back first. That Bem at the back. Those are old Christians. They should be talking. What can we consider filthiness of the flesh? Give me an example of filthiness of the flesh and filthiness of the spirit. But I've discovered that the major hindrance to spiritual advancement are the things we call filthiness of the spirit. How a man's spirit is contaminated. Very important. Very important. You guys are older believers. Okay. Get the mic. Sister Sarah Lomi is an old Christian. Give her the mic. Let her speak. The reason why I'm calling on the ancient people is because they have experienced some things.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You sit down, don't worry. It's okay.
Filthiness of the flesh will also mean, like, when you talked about yoking yourself with a non-believer, like fornication, adultery, you are contaminating your flesh. And also, looking at filthiness of the spirit, unforgiveness, the ability not to quickly forgive when somebody or something offends you.
Now, let me say something. Those kind of things, unforgiveness, bitterness, it quenches the spirit. Anger, it does what? It quenches. It's like chemical. It reacts against spirit life. You have answered our question. Bro, Emma, you have something to add to it? Now, let's hear from you.
Okay, filthiness of the spirit. To add to what I said, disobedience.
Okay.
Is a strong one when God speaks.
Okay.
And you clearly
turn
to the other side. It grieves the spirit. Then filthiness of the flesh talks about works of the flesh. Okay. Talks about normal things.
Let's check it. Let's check it.
Want to do.
Let's look at the works of the flesh quickly. And because these are hindrances. Can we go to Galatians quickly? Filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. And there was a crusade. It was, okay, it's a night vigil, a miracle night. And a mighty man of God came for that miracle night from Lagos to Abuja. Hallelujah. Name withheld. And the power of God began to move in a very massive, on a massive scale. Cripples were rising and coming to testify, and the grace of God was strong on the servant of God that he came down from the podium and went to where the cripples were and began to raise them one by one. The ones that did not rise through general miracle prayer started raising them, and they began to walk. And then it's as if his assistant pastor came and brought an information to him. He just turned to the pastor, he slapped him, then he continued raising. But the cripples were still standing. Obviously, he was operating by something that was not his own. And that's the anointing. It's not a proof of your standing. Alright? It is a sovereign move of God that is locked upon your call. And God responds to that call whether or not you are in good shape or not. Are you with me? So it is possible for you to, your estimation of yourself is based on the sovereign activity of God on your life. And that will be a wrong estimation. And that's why we need to look into the issues of filthiness of the flesh. Because this is the basis of your true estimation before God. Not the sovereign work of God that is happening through your life. But there are some fields we must identify. It is possible for a believer, born again, but he is locked on gossip. Praise, but is still locked on gossip. And he's doing that for 27 years as a believer. The Bible says, seeing that we have these great and precious promises, we need to get rid of every filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, so holiness is actually perfected when the reverence of God finds expression in our hearts. Are you with me? Now, I need to explain that before we move on to Galatians, all right? So you can put your hand in Galatians chapter 5. Have you read your Bible? Oh, please, let me give you this reading from a strange translation. I had to copy this verse out of that translation, trusting God that I'll be able to get that translation of the Bible for myself. This is the scripture that is being read here. It's Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. You don't need to turn. I like it from this rendering. Okay? Anytime we'll go into Bible study on the path of wisdom, we'll stumble on this scripture again. It says, the reverence of the Lord, according to this translation, is but the beginning of wisdom. But a full knowledge of all the Holy One's ways is complete understanding. That's what scripture, that translation says. Now, this scripture is suggesting to us that there are stages in the oppression of the wisdom of God. But the beginning of the oppression of wisdom of God starts when we capture the reality of the reverence of God. Now, the reverence of God is a revelation of His awesome might, awesome holiness, His awesomeness. And when you see that revelation, you are constrained by that revelation to operate in conformity with the Lord. That's what happened to Isaiah in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. He had an encounter with God, and the train of the Lord filled the temple. Saw seraphims everywhere. It was a revelation of God's divine holiness. Now, when he had that revelation, the effect of the revelation was deep reverence for God. There he was able to identify and isolate the activity that he was part of, the activity of the flesh. Now, so when we talk about the filthiness of the flesh that he was part of, he was a man of unclean lips. That was his hindrance and the quarrel that God had with him. So when we're talking about embracing and walking in the reality of God's awesome holiness, the check and the balance that the Holy Spirit puts in us that keeps us in shape and in conformity is that He reveals to us about the awesome holiness of God, and on the strength of that, reverence is born in our hearts. It's that reverence that keeps us in balance, walking consistently with God according to His principles and dictates when people are there and when people are not there. Are you still with me? Now, so the fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. and holiness is perfected, stabilized, and maintained as our most natural mode of operation. When that reverence of the Lord hits our heart and becomes operational therein. So it means that it's on the strength of this reverence that we tap into the depths of God. Because wisdom is actually God's. Wisdom is a personality. Alright? Aligning with God such that we can draw from his dimensions begins with the reverence of the Lord. Perfecting and stabilizing holiness in our daily walk is also tied to what? The reverence of the Lord. That is how the walk of holiness is stabilized. And you cannot create reverence in your heart for God. The reverence for God is a product of an encounter with his might and his awesomeness. Are you with me? Now, that's why I'm saying that we cannot mimic holiness. Part of it's coming from a nature. It's coming from a spirit. You can't mimic it. You can't copy it. It is natural. And it is perfected and maintained on the ground of the reverence of God that is ministered to us on the account of our encounter with his awesomeness. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, I want us to see quickly the works of the flesh. Then I'll give us some points about prayer, things that we easily overlook in prayer. The reason why we are emphasizing prayer is because the season calls for effective prayer. It calls for prayer. And anything we do, we need to look at prayer a little so that we can be a little better in getting results to our prayer, because this is a time that recommends prayer. Now, are you still with me? Okay. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Verse 16. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there are two options. Either you are walking in the Spirit, or you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You can't do both at the same time. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Please underline works. Can you jump to verse 22? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Underline fruit. Works and fruit. Why is it works of the flesh? And why is it fruit of the Spirit? Why? Okay, let me leave that to you. Why is it works? And why is it fruit? Yes, it's works of the flesh. If you move in anger, you have walked a walk. It is work, because if you manifest these things, now that you are born again, you labored to manifest them. But the one that is natural for you to bear are fruit. Eh? You bear fruits what? Naturally. Once the branches are connected to the vine, what will it produce? Fruit. That's the natural thing that comes up. So holiness is the natural thing that happens when we abide in him, when we remain with him. The fruit will find expression. It will be natural for us. It's not something that you are trying to make believe. But it is not natural for you to be operating with works. You have to gather some other powers to manifest the works, because it's not your nature. Now let us check some of these works that the Bible speaks about. You are going to notice that they are in two categories. adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. Then we have changed. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders. Let's stop there. Let me pick one. Witchcraft. Let's talk about witchcraft as a work of the flesh. Are you still with me? This is not witchcraft, the one that initiate people to become, to function in. This is witchcraft, what? A work of the flesh. What is witchcraft? Witchcraft is revealed in manipulation. You manipulate people to do something, you have just practiced witchcraft. Maybe you use subtle words, you threaten them that you won't help them, and they felt helpless and then they yielded. You dominated them, exercised control over them because they are your dependents. All of that is witchcraft. God gave man dominion. But if you check critically, it's creatures that man will dominate are creatures that are all on all fours. Because God did not give man dominion over man. And that's why you hear in the Old Testament say, concerning this matter, O God. He was praying that God should touch somebody's heart. But he went to the Father of all spirits. That's the protocol. And then the Father of all spirits is the one that has the right to manipulate that person. But it is possible for you to exclude the Father of all spirits and then you now go yourself and you have actually manifested witchcraft. And people that have perfected, educated their flesh to be able to manipulate like that are candidates that the people that are in witchcraft court are looking for to become members. Because that person that has understood how to wield the flesh to manipulate, when the spirit of witchcraft comes upon such a person, it will be easy for the person to amplify the effect through spirit power. There's an inherent human witchcraft dimension that is linked to the flesh. Hallelujah. And what God is trying to do is trying to insulate us by this scripture. This recommendation is an insulation. So that we don't touch things, realms, dimensions, things that are contrary to the Holy Spirit that wants to express His might through us as His theater. So as you consecrate yourself to God, you are going to isolate yourself from filthiness, because He said, touch not the unclean thing. Now, please take a good look at that list and find the one that you have pampered for 12 years. Check that list quickly. Have you become a man of wrath? And you say you are praying, and you have never taken time to fast and pray about your wrath, but you like praying for nations. A point will come where you will not grow beyond a particular level, because you are party to filthiness that is obstructing the expression of spirit life. Can we hold it? Can we peg it on that point? Hallelujah. Now, these are basic teachings on holiness. The advanced teachings on holiness are in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We'll come into that subsequently, not this weekend. Okay? We'll look at the advanced teachings on holiness and separation. Separation to serve the will of God. The next time we have time to teach, we'll look at the advanced description of holiness as rendered to us in the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Alright? Then we'll be able to accept partially that we have
been able to treat the subject. You need to take the tapes and commune with them. Holiness is not a religion. It's not a figment of man's imagination. It's a manifestation of the nature of God through vessels that are submitted and consecrated to Him. And God will bless us in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, so take these notes quickly. I'll be in a hurry now. You can write facts about prayer that are easily overlooked. Facts about prayer that are easily overlooked. Take it down carefully. Number one, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll find number 1 there. I want to really take time to explain these points, just 4 points. 26, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. One fact about prayer that is easily overlooked is what we call the partnership in prayer. Because prayer, releasing prayer, involves two parties. I'm not talking about the person you are praying to yet. I'm saying releasing it itself involves two parties. Now, there is an economy that is at work in your spirit and upon your heart that produces incense that can reach to the heavens. Now, the Bible says that there is a deficiency that we have as men. We are leading with infirmities. And because of our infirmities, we are handicapped in interfacing with the spirit realm effectively. One of the infirmities that we have that is going to truncate our interception of the spirit realm is our limitation with regards knowledge. Only God knows why you slept in the night. Only God knows the things that were contending for you. Only Baba can tell that. There is this limitation of lack of knowledge that makes our utterances and the best of our prayers to be insufficient. In order to concoct the incense of prayer, the Bible says, in this matter, the Spirit of God will have to help us. And so there are two parties involved in releasing prayer incense. You and what? The Holy Ghost. Now, you must know the role of the Holy Spirit in this partnership. And you must know your own role in this partnership, lest you become a victim and you not see the full potential of your prayer. I know we pray a lot, so we need to be taking inoculation consistently on the praying ministry, the prayer life. You have a part to play in releasing the incense. But you need help. And it is only the Holy Spirit that can help you because of our numerous infirmities. One of the ways He helps us is that He gives us utterance. He gives us insight. And all these things that he gives to us are actually areas of our infirmity that he's helping us with. Are you with me? Now, it is on the strength of this that we need to differentiate between praying with the Spirit. Now, you see, it is possible for you to pray with the Spirit. It is a different thing for you to pray in the Spirit. Are you with me? Praying what? With the Spirit. You pray with the Spirit because of your infirmities. Because it's only the Spirit of God that can help your infirmities. And there are numerous assortment of infirmities that we have that is going to hinder effective prayer. And so, because of these infirmities, we are going to have to pray with the Spirit. That means we are praying along with the help facility that God has put in place to minister to those infirmities and to exclude them as far as our interfacing in prayer is concerned. Somebody say, praying with the Spirit. Because of time, maybe this is where I'm going to stop. We'll continue next. So I can't go beyond praying with the Spirit. Now, Tony, if maybe there's a challenge in your house, and I'm coming to help you to meet that challenge. You have a report to submit, and you are not computer literate, and you need my help to come operate the computer to generate the report for you. You know, there are some things you are going to give me for me to put into the report. It is you that knows that. And there are some things I'm going to lend you my skills. So you are going to do the report with me. You are the one doing the report, but you are doing it with my skills. You are the one activating. You are the one that has a challenge to submit a report. I have skills, but I don't have any challenge. So you are going to do your report, how? With me. That means you take into inventory my skills as part of the accessories that are available to you, and then you can now compute your figures, counting on my skills as part of what? My skills are lended to you as part of your own ability now. So with my skills, you can do the report. So the Bible says that the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. So there's a problem now. One of the problems is you don't even know what to pray about. And just in case you know what to pray about, you don't know how much of prayer you need to invest in order to see to that issue. Meanwhile, just in case you know how much of prayer that you need to invest, you may not have the utterance. So we have a limitation that is far-reaching. And because of that, we need to pray with the Spirit. Now, let us analyze the help. Because I want us to pray today. That's what I'm doing. Let us analyze this help a little that the Holy Ghost has to offer us. And based on this analysis, let us see the reason why our prayers are not effective. Now, first of all, you don't know what to pray for as you ought to. We know not what to pray as we ought to pray. You don't know what to pray, and you don't know how you ought to pray. You don't have the utterance to pray. And you want to pray. Hallelujah. And then the Spirit now comes and supplies the knowing dimension. That means prayer cannot be contracted until there is alignment. Your spirit is part of it. Your soul is part of it. And your body is part of it.
A praying personality is an aligned personality. Many times we come into service and the guy that is trying to lead us in the prayer has a challenge. The challenge he has is he is trying to interface with prayer militants that are out of alignment. The soul is in Badagry. The body is present. The mind is in the village. So when they say, let us pray, he's still in the village. He's not aligned. So the coordinator has a body and he begins to rebuke everybody in the crowd. Now, if you really prepared before you are leading that prayer, what you are releasing should compel the people into alignment without you having to say, Kai! Now, there's alignment. Because the Lord will supply the knowledge of what you need to pray about. He needs you to participate. And that knowledge comes via your spirit. And the understanding of that which has come via your spirit will crystallize in your soul. And brings your mind into the anointing. And then illumination comes into your mind. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit that has facilitated the knowing into your spirit man. So your mind cannot be absent in the matter. Now, many of us miss in the place of prayer by not knowing how to condition our mind. You know not how to pray. But the Spirit of the Lord maketh intercession. He uses a language that humans cannot utter. And that language that is functioning on an operating system that is directly compatible with the one that searches the heart, because it can pick the mind of the spirit. Because the mind of the spirit actually makes intercession according to the will of God. So you have no knowledge of God's present revelation position at the moment, even concerning issues that you feel are affecting you. Are you still with me? So we need to pray with what? The Spirit. Now, Tony, I have come with my computer skills to add to you so that you can write the report. And then suddenly you now stand up and say, be careful, oh. You have not understood that I am there to help you. So maybe I will go and allow you to languish for a season. And then maybe you will develop the proper courtesy that is required to woo a helper. Now, many of you don't know that you need to woo your helper. You need to. That's why your prayers are based on a plane that the devil can checkmate. Because you have not been praying with help. You have always felt that you can move into prayer and get results without external help. So you have not opened your heart to the essential help that is required to facilitate a spiritual adventure and to get prescribed results. There is a protocol. There is a decorum that must be sustained in getting the services of a helper. Now, most of you guys come for prayer and you swing. You come with a list and things like that. There's a point for that. I will tell you, there is a height in the spirit that you get to before you can begin to pray personal prayers. I will show you that height. But listen to me. I have found out as I try to research into the fact that there's a lot of praying going on, especially now that there's crisis. But the answers to prayers are coming in with they don't seem to be coming commensurate to the prayers that are being uttered. One of the reasons is because we have not known how to get help. Is it not a man that is aware of the fact that he needs help that will go and seek it? Is it true that when you kickstart your prayer, you kickstart your prayer with an understanding of your need? as a man leading with diverse infirmities. Is that how you kickstart? Or you just come and say, Borosata, Borosata, Borosata. Now, I have. That man doesn't need help. I've told you that spiritual warfare does not end with prayer. Spiritual warfare ends with wisdom and direction. And if you don't tap into wisdom and direction, your warfare has not yet ended. Most of us come into the prayer floor with the flesh. Because it's the flesh that will not make you recognize your need for help when you are about to interface with the spirit realm. And I need to tell us, Pastor, our limitation is that most people come into his courts in the flesh, leaning on their record that they had yesterday, the things they did by God. So that one forms a mold that resists them from further entrance into the palaces of God. And so help is not available at some point, at some level, because of the extra luggage of the flesh that is carried on into the courts of God. A man that needs help, that is desperate for help, he has an approach towards seeking such help. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes in order for you to be helped, you need to ask for help. And you know that is not excluded in the law of the Spirit. Say, ask and what? Seek and what? Knock and the door shall be what? Because sometimes your asking may not be enough. You may need to go and seek, take your Bible and your concordance and study about the Holy Ghost first. You are still trying to ask. Are you with me? But you have discovered that the protocol of asking is embedded in a mighty maze of the Spirit. So you will need to go and conduct a personal Bible study about how the Holy Ghost operates first. So that you'll be enlightened enough to know how to ask for his help. Now, Sister Blessing, give Sister Blessing the mic. Where's? No, don't be distracted. See. Sometimes the Holy Spirit bathes his people. So such a thing should not be something that is so strange that you are turning back to see. What are you seeing? Give Sister Blessing the mic. She's with white there laughing and hiding. That's the one. Now, Sister Blessing, please, you are going to give us an account of your prayer life. Now, for the past 3 months, can you say that your prayer life has been effective? Please help us with it. Can you say your prayer life has been effective for the past 3 months?
I want to know the definition of
effectiveness.
Yes, okay.
Have you been praying in the past 3 months?
Yes, sir.
You have been praying?
Yes.
Okay. Now, stay tuned. You will find out in this lecture what effective prayer is all about. There is a protocol that is required in seeking spirit help. Sometimes your asking may not be sufficient. You may need to go and do a Bible study about the Holy Ghost to know his terms and conditions, so that you are seeking him, his help, on his own terms, not on your own terms. You believe that when you show up, without paying too much attention to the person you are using his help, most of you don't even know you use his help. You say, "Come on, man." You are, Jesus. I am tired of praying prayers without results. I have gone to research to find out the protocol that is missing, so that I can get impact, I can get results. there is a protocol that is required in seeking spirit's help. First protocol is that you must know that he's a king spirit. There are different kinds of spirits in the realm. Alright? But the way of the king spirit is a strange way. Have you ever heard that scripture, that rendition that said, the Lord is that spirit? Wherever the spirit of the Lord is, the Lord is what? So, based on that scripture, will it be wrong for us to call him the Lord spirit? Because the Lord is that. It's a king spirit we're talking about. A spirit that is king. And all the protocol and courtesies that is worthy of a king applies to him. Most of you disrespect the Holy Spirit in that thing you call your prayer. He's so kind. Oh, Baba. I came here one day to inspect the prayer we were praying. And my own prayer was different from the prayer point being led. I was praying for mercy. I was seeking help for our prayers because the attitude with which we were engaging those prayers in themselves, that attitude alone is an obstacle that is going to hinder us from the answers to those prayers. I read about the saints of old, how that they had answer to prayer. I heard about John Knox. Whenever I enter into the United Kingdom, I have to visit Scotland. I've told our people there, I want to go to where John Knox did those prayers. There's always a spiritual deposit left in a physical place where a man contracts and intercepts the spirit realm. There's always a deposit. In fact, not just a deposit, there's a spirit city that is created in that place. That is a spirit city that was created when Abraham offered sacrifice to God. And that city was a city of angels that ascended and descended. The city was still activated many years later until his grandson came and he thought it was by his will he slept there. He was manipulated to come into the inheritance, spiritual inheritance of his father, that was created when he opened the website through sacrifice. Let me stop there for now. I'm talking about help. Many of us come to pray as champions with your medals from warfare, like this. I'm strained from war. Oh. And I had to pray for our prayer. We have not found help. I remember in my small room those days, if you know my house, those of you that know my old house, not this one, the one down there, the real first house, in those days of help, I had help in that small house. My gosh, there are some places that are spiritually significant. They don't look buoyant in the natural, but a lot of traffic had taken place. I was praying and I saw help from God. Alright? My feet began to shake with help. It was help that was shaking my feet. It means my feet was a problem that day. It was standing in the way of access. So my feet began to shake. And suddenly I fell under the power. I was not in a crusade. Where was I? Praying and help was coming. And when I fell under the power, he took me in the spirit and showed me strange things about what I was praying about. I knew that my prayers were not sufficient to handle it. When I now saw the things I was contending with. You know the Bible says we know not how to pray as we ought. I saw you believe it. I am a witness of that. I was taken in the spirit to see things. Then I knew that prayer I was praying was a waste of time. I think we'll begin the process by really asking him for help. If you know how futile, you see, your estimation of the flesh is not as bad as God's estimation of it. So we can afford to carry some measure of the flesh around, even in the prayer room. You say, you know, the last time I brought 3 witches down, the demons were handled. Just a word only. So he brings all of that into the, you know, I'm here again, you know. I just came now. No. We have a problem. I saw help. Oh Jesus. Oh Lord. You see, some of you don't ask questions. Small boy, you are a pastor. Why is it that you don't behave like other people? You would have asked questions. During those days of help, God showed me the mantle that we are carrying as a ministry today. He showed me people that carried it before me and how they lost it. I can mention their name, but it will cause trouble. They now picked me up and said, will you do the same thing? I saw what they did. So there are some things I can't afford. Hallelujah. But we can't go into details. But it was help that was at work. And that help, there's a lot of it that anchors on the knowledge you need to get. You know what? We lack help. We lack help. Have you ever knelt down in the night and all you prayed was, have mercy? Has it happened to you before? Then tomorrow you wanted to pray again, it was, have mercy. Next tomorrow you wanted to pray again, have mercy. It happens for a month, 1 month, and then you think something is wrong with you. No, you just tuned into a new avenue in the spirit. You have just grown. The proof of growth is that you begin to understand the true estimation of the flesh and you decide not to have confidence in it. For a month and 2 months, it's just mercy. You are asking for help. That's your 2 months prayer, it will be answered. When he comes, he will come. What you did is not in futility. He will come. But you see, my problem is that help in the apostolic days was not something that was momentary. It was a daily experience, powered by the grace of God. Help from above. One of those times again, help was coming. And I was there just, Jesus, just calling on heaven. Not praying for anything physical or stuff, just calling on heaven. And while I was calling on heaven, my room was littered up. That was help. Only God knows the dimensions of help we need. There are some types of help you need that he will anoint your eyes with eye salve. It's still help. He will anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see. Still in keeping with help. Only Jesus knows what he meant when he said the Spirit helped our infirmities. Have your eyes been enlightened before? And you were taken to the corridor of knowledge and your eyes looked upon scrolls. Scrolls of nations. That is help. That is help. Help descending. Have you ever been on your knees and an angel passes through your curtain? And he says, see the pages of that which you seek. Then you now see the limitation of your prayer point. You were supposed to be praying on 7 things. You were praying on 1. Change it. That was the story of Daniel. I don't have time today. Daniel's excellency was that he knew how to draw help. Angel Gabriel used to appear to Daniel in dreams, giving him help. I hope you know that that night vision that he had, that dream he had about Nebuchadnezzar's dream, it was Daniel that came and ministered to him in a dream. Because Daniel used to appear to, Gabriel used to appear to Daniel in the dream and minister help to him. A time came in Daniel's ministry where dreams could no longer help him. If there was a continental issue that was taking place, thrones were fighting, so Gabriel had to appear physically. Gabriel's appearance, physical appearance, was help, because Daniel was praying and missed. The prayer he prayed 21 years ago, days ago, was what? Was answered the time he prayed it. There were many intrigues in the spirit realm that manipulated the results of those prayers. Meanwhile, the Son of Man was still there praying. So, okay, maybe when I push more, Baba will hear. He was out of order. And the angels warring in the spirit needed his support on earth. And he was not about to sleep, because he said, so Gabriel couldn't come through dream again. Gabriel had to say, Kai! I have come to give you skills and understanding. That's help. Please help me touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor there is something called skills in the spirit realm. There is something called understanding of the spirit realm. And unfortunately, they must be given to you. Unfortunately. Unfortunately, there's no form of learning that you can do, that you can attain to that estimation. It must be handed out to you. Gabriel could no longer, the issue at stake was heavy. So Gabriel, against his will, had to make himself visible to Daniel and say, I have come to give you skills and understanding. Then the vista of time was withdrawn, and Daniel was able to see as far as the end of the civilization of mankind, just because of a prayer point. He prayed about his people. The skills he needed to pray accurately and to function effectively will require that he sees the end of time. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but I believe one person here will hear what I'm saying, and a prince will rise from among us. We need help. The man that needs help is not a proud man. The spirit we are dealing with is a king spirit. And a king doesn't go for visitation. Just in case you need to see the king, there is an elaborate protocol that you need to pass through in order for you to gain audience with him. Hallelujah. His help, and I need help. The stronger spiritual brother or sister is the one that has resolved the fact that he needs help in his heart, and he doesn't seek to strive in the flesh. He waits on him until he mounts up with wings like eagles. If you like, go and be running. Jesus will say his disciples should enter the canoe and go ahead of him. He is coming. Then he went to pray. When he finished prayer, he walked on water. Meanwhile, when the cameraman now zoomed on the disciples, they were saying the wind was contrary. Now, so their head start did not count for anything. When he had finished and he had received help, he was walking. Help. The spirit does what? Help. This is how far we can go for today. So we cannot finish the 4-point agenda. Sorry. What I started, sister, I started from number 4, not number 1. That's why I've not been able to answer your question. But time is against us. If the Lord permits, I'll continue in the evening. But I have a diet for the evening time. You know what? We don't have help. That's the problem. Our infirmity has limited us. And so people are still praying about issues that were answered, that principalities are stopping. and they don't have knowledge that this is the matter. Do you know? A small insight that looks like national deliverance required a vision that will reveal the end of time. You call it a small issue, but it required a vision. The lattice of time was suspended, and it became a perpetual continuum. And Daniel was able to describe meteorites falling from the heavens, and he was not an astrologer. It was by help. He was upgraded. His sight, his understanding, activated by the anointing. He functioned in the might of an angel, and his prayer supported angels to win battle in the spirit. Who told you that a man is feeble? He's not feeble when he's helped. Right now, I need to tell us something. For many months, the Lord has sought to help us, but we are too full in ourselves. Today, we are going to repent and ask Him for help. Hallelujah. We say Nigeria is bad. Travel out. You will see that something more than the gospel we preach is what will save them. It's help that will save them. Can you be sincere to the King and say, I need help? Listen to me, I said it's a king spirit. Secondly, you must understand the difference between the supernatural and the spectacular. Because what is supernatural is not necessarily spectacular. And what is spectacular is not necessarily supernatural. His mode of oppression, his vehicle of oppression, being that his spirit is the vehicle of the supernatural. You know, the prophet Elijah, he thought that the voice of God would be in the thunder, in the blast, something wild. Where was it? You see, when you are seeking for help, you no longer have the right to decide what means he will reach you. You might be used to the thunder, the fire type, but a man that seeks help will not recommend that. Let the help come with fire. You know, our preaching today is fire. He might decide not to bring help through fire. If you are the one that is seeking help, you will not recommend the way the help will come. The lesson that Elijah had to learn on the mountaintop was the one in need of help has no say in how help comes. Then you will see the diversities in the oppressions of God. As he moves to bring his people help, he can become a flame to bring help. He can blast the rocks to bring help. And he can also be found in the voice that is still and small. You must differentiate between the supernatural and what? Because the rocks can blast and there's no voice in it. Is it the blasting of the rocks you want to see, or you want to touch his heart and know his mind? You must define what you seek. If not, you'll be disqualified. A lot of people's hearts are too bogus to receive from God. Not simple enough to yield to his response to a soul that cries. I read about the old saints. Prayer was emotional to them. It was something deeper than what we are doing today. It was deeper than what we practice now. It's a man of God I was told about in Lagos. You know him, but his name would hurt. He's an intercessor, basically. I was told that him, and in the days where his mentor was still alive,
went to a hotel in the US, and as they were praying, there was an earthquake. And the foundation of the building where they were praying is slanted. And when they traced that the energy that was shaking the building was coming from a particular room, they found them praying. Because the building was slanted, they had to evacuate the building. For many years, 15 years, it was that pastor, then his mentor had died and been with the Lord, that went back to the U.S. and laid hands on that building and said, "God, straighten it." And the building came back to what it was. And then people began to use it again. I heard that he was praying in Lagos and the ground began to vibrate. He was praying in Ogun State. The ground, Jesus, began to vibrate. So the anointing that his master had has come on him. Have you heard in scripture that the Lord kills and makes alive? He does that through the hands of men that know help. Can you see that men cannot do these things? It can never be by power. We come loaded with flesh, seeking to gain ascendancy. There's a point beyond which we cannot go. The ground began to vibrate. Some scriptures are not a revelation, it's literal. Huh? When the Bible says, and the place was shaking, don't try to interpret it. The word shaking means this. No, it means what? Shaking. The place was what? Shaking. There's no other meaning. It was what? Across Africa, there is need for help. Prayer. Our weaknesses and insufficiencies as a church in this nation has been exposed by men saddled by demons that seek to take peace from our land. If there is a time that we need to do at least one thing right, it is now. And that one thing is to pray well. And right prayers come because men are helped. When your heart becomes bogus, you begin to despise the spiritual, the supernatural, and you look upon the spectacular. And there needs to be a rumble. There needs to be a fire. Only a man that seeks help can accept it, even in its simplicity. Many times we have refused the help of the Lord, because we did not quite understand the form in which it came. Hallelujah. Third thing about this Holy Spirit is that he has varying levels of intensity. You see, I'm pressed for time. If I open another scripture, it will take us far. And I don't want us to be here by 5 o'clock still talking. He has what? Varying levels of intensity. The level of intensity that he has in my spirit is different from yours. You know, there was a time I was serving in Kano. While I was in Kano, there was a mighty religious riot. And then we began to pray and ask God for intervention in the land. We prayed and we fasted and groaned before the Lord. Then sometime in the mid-year, I went to visit my brethren, my sister and her family in Abuja. They were big people in government those days. And I came to their apartment. I saw them soaked with juice. orange juice soaked with cakes. In fact, they had AC everywhere, including the corridor. I saw them fat with butter. The intensity of God in their spirit was very small. And we in Kanu, for us to live a normal life, our intensity had to be what? So I discovered that he has varying levels of what? let me stop there. I don't want to tell you the implication, because I need to use chemistry to explain that. There are different energy levels. So anything at all you have experienced with him is not all of it. There's still another level of intensity. It is him to whom we come to seek help. Sometimes your help will come at another level of intensity. So he will allow you to pray for 3 months. So that the intensity begins to shift gradually. Because if it shifts the intensity, all of a sudden, it will damage your mortal body. So it begins to allow the intensity to shift. Until it takes you to places that are high. We're going to pray this morning. Maybe for 10 minutes, so that we'll not get lost in talking. But I wanted to show us a few bits and pieces, but I found out that yesterday's teaching was not fully tied up. And you know, I have a lot of friends on the cable, and I have a lot of critics on the cable. So I have to tie it up. I think my critics have become my friends now. Because the issues of our controversy, they have discovered that they cannot find a place in scripture to support their claim against the truth that we have presented. So they are my friends. But I try to do a thorough job. That's why we had to spend time. If not, my purpose for this morning's teaching is to show us those facts about prayer that are easily overlooked. So as to help us, that God will grant us grace to go deeper into his corridors. So I cannot explain. In the evening, I will give you the answer to your question. What effective prayer means. And then you can use that description to probe 3 months in your life to see if you have been practicing it. Can we pray in a moment of time and ask him for help? God can actually move half of heaven because of a man that has known how to find help in his courts and in his presence. He can move things out of shape, out of place. He can send Gabriel into your dreams. Send Michael into your bedroom. He can make your feet to wobble. He can make the rocks to blast. He can cause the thunder to pass by. All in a bid to administer help. For the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Can we call upon him and say, Lord, I need help. You can maintain the best position that you see fit. Kneeling, sitting, or standing. Lying down on the ground. It is help that we seek. And help we need desperately. We need this help desperately. We need it desperately. Koma si lehele hente le kokorina na na mama. Now this is a solemn time. Use these moments with gravity or spirit. Kolendere kosite karada bakuria masina mando. Kiboboso no koria masika maladam.
Mehinte soberani gabas kendoroko paranda lava. Help from the Lord.
Spirit move over me. Spirit move over me. Holy Spirit, move me now, move me now, make my life whole again. Spirit move, Spirit move, Spirit move over me. Over me, Spirit, move over me.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
we need His help.
Move me now.
Come in, man, and We need your help, O God. We need your help right now. We need your help now. We need your help now. Help us, Lord.
Can you empty yourself right now and reach out for His grace? Empty yourself. Empty yourself of yourself. Empty yourself of all your advantages and go before Him bare so that you can receive the supply of His help from above. For the Spirit help that I from it.
Your name, man,
Spirit and strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man. We need help. Zimamo no cause Shekomine Sentomina Cantemonde Amerecado Bana Bana Ameno Benasika Mione Sika Polo Bana. Receive the strength and the help of the Lord. Now we want to pray for Plateau State, for Benue State, and for Nigeria. And the Lord will show mercy. That He will show mercy. That He will stretch forth His hands and be merciful to His people. Come, Mama, say that, Baba. Because I no compress can never call Him as For the intervention of the Lord. For the intervention of the Lord, that the Lord will deploy His strength, that the plan of the enemy will fail. Bobo sanda mamareka de mamoria. Shabobori makaska tobra tabala kabesale. Rokempa shamana tebata de mamori. Akapesonte praske balahada. Ikabarate sopaketa de no kongoresa. Shababaranoske. Sipo santa baboria.
Test for you in a dry and weary land. All we want is you. We hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land. All we want is you. We hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land. All we want is you. All we want. Lord, we hunger and we thirst, we hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land. All we want is you. We hunger and thirst for you. Thirst for you, we hunger and thirst for you, in a dry and weary land.
This is that day, oh God, wherein you will help us. Help from your spirit. Times of refreshing from your presence. Grace from you, O God. O Pastor Mene. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. There's always a difference when we are helped. Even the utterances are not yours. That is how we can stop this evil hand of darkness, by receiving help from His presence. That's how you can change the tide in your family, is by help. Now, those utterances you are hearing are not from men, they are groanings. Mutterings of the spirit that mortal men cannot utter. Your entire visage is changed when the help of God is imparted into your spirit. You are changed by His help. You are changed by His help. It's in that realm that you can command the hand of God and see it move. The realm of help. That leagues and legions of angels can move from one part of heaven to another part of heaven because you have found help and penetration. We receive the help of the Lord today. Receive His help. Thank you, Lord. The streams of heaven begin to flow, and once your heart is open, heaven becomes open. Then whatsoever you bind in the earth will be bound in the heaven. Let the floods of the heavens flood away and wash away everything that Satan has planted. Make unto us a highway, that the residue of your people might march upon. Thank you, Lord. There's utterance that comes from the depth of your belly when you have found help. It flows like a stream. You forget who you are. You forget where you are. You forget who is standing by your side. It flows out. There's a reality, a revelation of God's awesomeness, of His holiness, of His might. And help comes from heaven. Then we'll hear utterances of angels. We hear prayers with deep groanings, such as no man can utter. Kabala miraka de bose, makoria masi. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Anywhere you are, put your right hand on your chest, whether you are kneeling or standing or sitting. Your right hand on your chest. And what you are saying by that hand is, I am a candidate for your help. Behold my struggles. I've been contending with this, contending with that for so long a time. And now my strength has failed me. I switch on to your help. Send us help from Zion. Believe every word you utter, and help will come from the heavens. A strange river will come from within you. A compelling power will arise over and above the scope of your will. I am that candidate for your help. I am that man that needs your help. I've been on the ground for too long. Cause me to mount up. That when I look upon the pages of the scriptures again, let it glow like a choice flame. Let my heart burn by His words. Let my prayers proceed with fire. I am that candidate for your help today. Oh yes, do not mind the person by your side. Something is flowing out of heaven, flowing upon your soul, reaching beyond you. A pathway being forged by the hand of God. See, Mamareta Sokamala. With men, many things might be impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Yeah, I am that man that needs your help. Woman that needs your help. Heal me of my infirmities, for indeed there are many. Amoda, let the streams of heaven.
passion. Take over this challenge, oh God, by ministering help to me. Take over the challenges of my life by ministering help. Imalando seke mali mama mama. Gloria basika. Gloria mama na basa. Ibabore meskete pregete. Laborina sika branda babaroko sede. Gloria mama sika bira masanda babaroko. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Receive the help of the Lord. 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 Receive the help. Receive the help of the Lord. Receive the help of the Lord. Yoke is rolled away. The yoke is rolled away. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.